بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وقل رب زدني علما. Basically there are two types of knowledge. One type of knowledge has been encouraged. رب زدني علما. My Rabb, increase me in knowledge. This knowledge that Allah Ta'ala has encouraged is the knowledge that you will gain His recognition, you will understand the path to Jannat, you will understand the path that will bring about a loss or will make you a failure. So to acquire that knowledge, that will help you to recognize your Creator, Allah Ta'ala, or that will encourage you to the path of Jannat and turn you away from the path of Jahannam, that knowledge is the knowledge that has been instructed, commanded, so that will be compulsory. And that is so great that that's the only thing in the entire Quran Sharif you to ask for an increase. رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. In no place in the Quran Sharif does Allah Ta'ala command you to ask for an increased measure in wealth. Nowhere for an increased measure in health or in age and life. But if there's an increase in knowledge, رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا, that man is in the throes of death, then too he is instructed, ask for an increase in knowledge. رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. It's a general statement, so when you are fit, healthy, sick, about dying, will increase me in knowledge. But then you have to identify what type of knowledge. The knowledge that will make you understand the greatness of Allah Ta'ala. And when you got that understanding of the majesty, the greatness, the power, then this in turn helps you on the path to Jannat. But if you don't have the understanding of the greatness, the power, the might of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you are doing things just in a formality, just a motion that you're going through. You're not doing it with that level of respect and regards. So therefore, رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. There is the other type of knowledge which has been totally blocked off, banned, or discouraged. The knowledge that Allah Ta'ala has discouraged and banned. So the hadith says, وَنَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ عِلْمٍ لَا يَنْفَعُ. Allah Ta'ala, I also ask you protection against that knowledge that is not beneficial. So there's one type, and there is the third type of knowledge that is called knowledge, but it's just a speculation and theory. So with regards to speculation and theory, then the Quranic instruction is لَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ. Don't pursue those things that you have no knowledge about. Like in this day and time, the theory of Darwinism or evolution, etc., etc., all these are still theories. Evolution is all a theory. And the Quranic advice is don't pursue that. The reason why you don't pursue that is today it's a theory. And you may study it, when you study these things here, then the theories become like a fact. And then science is evolving all the time. Like up till 1930, science believed that the earth was eternal in size and in age. That's what they believed. But around 1930, they saw that the earth was expanding all the time. So they had to retract and say, no, it's not eternal, it's got a time. Came up with time, so it's not eternal. So then they went on from evolution 1930 to the Big Bang. Now, it is just a matter of time. In 100 years they change, right? In the next 100 years, what will be the theory then? Allah knows. They may just change, the whole thing may just be reversed again. So in these things, the Quran Sharif's advice is, I don't pursue these things that you have no clear proof for. You don't have proof for, you don't have knowledge, don't pursue the thing. Because you don't have categorical evidence. when you don't have categorical clear evidence, then this may be just a speculation. And the speculation, you can turn it on into a belief. And if you turn the speculation into a belief, then you're going out of Islam. So don't pursue it. Why must you try and experiment with this? Don't experiment. If experiment, you will change things. And then you will feel so much embarrassed if the science itself has to say, no, this was a theory, we're still working on it. And then we retract. Now what's going to happen? So if it was your belief, now you feel so embarrassed that I have to retract into belief. Or you feel so embarrassed that I lost my iman. So the simple, straightforward instruction of the Quran, لَا تَخْفُوا مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِعِلْمٍ, you don't have concrete, categorical evidence, then leave that. Don't pursue it. That is for the scientists. But the scientists, who are they? A bunch of atheists, gays, lesbians. These are scientists. Obviously, the scientists have got bosses. So they have to design things like how the bosses want. Bosses come, the bosses say, do it in this way. They have to do it in that way so that they become, they may qualify for the remuneration. If they're not tailoring it how the bosses want, they don't qualify for the remuneration. So they have to tailor it and make it like how the bosses want. So they've got nothing to do with iman. It's just about money. And they have to design it like how the bosses want. So when it's a total commercialized thing, then why should you follow it? Why should you break your head about it? The Quran Sharif, subject your thinking to the Quran, subject the science to the Quran, subject your theories to the Quran, and don't subject your theories, don't subject the Quran to your theories. Don't subject, he's not your slave, why are you subjecting it? That's Allah Ta'ala's, it's the only unchangeable word that's from the beginning till now, never altered, never altered. So now, this knowledge, what is the idea? Why do you acquire the knowledge? So, Allah Pak has designed the world with cause and effect. So you don't see Allah Ta'ala manifesting His Qudrat directly. So if you want light and heat, then Allah Ta'ala has got a creation called the sun. That thing will generate the heat, it will generate light. It will give light and it will give heat. So Allah Ta'ala could have sent light and heat directly to this universe, but that's against the grand plan of Allah Ta'ala. The plan is that He'll do things, but through some suburb. Right? You do it through that. So understand that this is the plan of Allah Ta'ala. So don't get stuck into this. لَا تَسْجُدُوا لِلشَّمْسِ وَلَا لِلْقَمَرِ. Don't adore these things, making them gods. Don't make them gods. These are just instruments that Allah Ta'ala has placed there. When they are instruments, then use them as instruments and nothing beyond that instrument, like a stove you got for heat. So you use it as an instrument, you don't use it as a god. So similarly, that sun is just an instrument. Keep it as an instrument. Don't take it any level beyond that. So, the instrument has to be used for what? It must lead you to Jannah, to your right abode, right? فَبَشِّرْ عِبَادْ أَلَّذِينَ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلِ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ أَحْسَنَ. So, Allah Ta'ala says, then give good news to my servants. But which servants? الَّذِينَ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلِ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ أَحْسَنَ. So that class of my servants who listen attentively to my message. يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلِ. My message, they listen to it, but they listen to it attentively. So the idea is not just listening, but listen to the word of Allah Ta'ala attentively. There is a Talim section, that is a session that is taking place after Isha. Talim of the Mubarak words of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the verse of the Quran Sharif, elucidated by great, great ulama-i kiram. So listen to it, but listen to it attentively. Even if it is a small session, 20 minutes, 15 minutes. But listen to it with all your mind, with all your heart. How you get this child watching those gadgets, and when he's watching that gadget, he's like mesmerized, hypnotized. He's oblivious of the surrounding. So with that level of concentration, listen to the word of Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that you're oblivious of everything else. So when you are going to be listening to the word of Allah Ta'ala, whether in a discourse, whether through a kitab, level of respect, that level of concentration, then what will be the effect? The effect of it will be then, that يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلَ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ أَحْسَنَ. Allah Ta'ala will bless you with the grace of following. But now, that's suspended upon the degree of attention, respect that you had offered. When you showed it respect, the concentration, now Allah Ta'ala inspires you with emulating. You begin to emulate. I heard this in the kitab. I read this. That I would perform my namaz with jamaat and the reward will be multiplied so many more folds. I would do it with wuzu and so much more will Allah Ta'ala appreciate that namaz or that wuzu that I'm doing. Or I'm attending the Jummah and I come in a certain way, then every step will be like 1 year's of fasting, 1 year's of Qiyamul Layl. So I will do it with that level of adab that the Quran or the Hadith is teaching. But then that is subject to what level of respect, concentration, you are listening to it. You're listening to it with concentration, with adab. Understanding that this is the word of my Allah Ta'ala, understanding that this is the word of my Rasulullah Sallallahu is an unchangeable word. So with so much of respect, muhabbat and adab you are listening. So as a direct consequence, Allah Ta'ala says, I'll bless you for yattabi'una ahsana. You will follow it. But now you will not just follow it, for yattabi'una ahsana, you will follow the best cause. One is, you're following, but you're not following the better cause. And for all of us will appreciate something that is better. I know, for example, I'm going to work for this person, he'll pay me, say, 10,000. But that person, for the same amount of work, in fact, less hours, he'll double the salary, 20,000, I'll work there. I'll open up a practice here, it won't run so well. But it'll run very well there. So, in our material things, we are looking for that which is better. This kaya, I'm going to buy it, well, this is the mileage. And this kaya, this is the mileage. So, obviously our mind takes us, when the price is the same, the mileage is better here, then let me take that which is better. فَيَتَّبِعُونَ أَحْسَنَ. The mind takes you to that cause which is better. So Allah Ta'ala in His compassion and love for His creation, He wants you to go for that which is better. فَيَتَّبِعُونَ أَحْسَنَ. So there is a permissible cause and there is a better cause. And what Allah Ta'ala prefers for us is the better cause, right? Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, and we know of the story of Aisha radiyallahu anha and the allegations that went. And Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu, being the father, was naturally affected. My daughter and the allegation, being the respected family of Rasulullah Pakistan, then in the fact that I am giving him a multi thousand rands every month I'm giving him, and then this is the type of response I'm getting. This is the reward that I get. I'm giving him the allowance every month. I don't need to give it to him. I'm giving it to him. But then this is the response that I get. Paying is being attacked. Same man that is being so, he's being attacked. So, he took an oath that now I'm not going to help the person any longer. So Allah Ta'ala revealed the verse, وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلَا يَأْتَلِي أُولُ الْفَضْلِ مِنْكُمُ السَّاعَةِ يَأْتُوا أُولِ الْقُرْبَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. So Allah Ta'ala interceded and He says, people of excellence, people of virtue, they shouldn't resort to oath against spending upon relatives and the poor, muhajirin, etc. وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَسْفُوا. So you learn two things here. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was held in that esteem that Allah Ta'ala Himself says, وَلَا يَأْتَلِي أُولُو الْفَضْلِ مِنْكُمْ. People of excellence, people of virtue. So if Allah Ta'ala holds someone in virtue, talks about him in the Quran Sharif, in clear, categorical words, then you can this man. And if someone has to rebuke him and insult him, then it's an insult to himself, he's risking his faith. Because Allah Ta'ala has already classed him, already distinguished him, already endorsed his significance, his virtue, his greatness. And now the man has a heart to speak out against him. And then, we as general Muslims must be good to everybody. They speak against the Sahaba, against Abu Bakr, Siddiq. Don't worry, must be good to everybody. So, this is a lack of understanding of deen. I ask you for whatever you are worth. But if someone insulted your father or your mother with something very heinous, right? Will you have the same attitude? No, it must be good to everybody. There you take it as a personal attack. You don't want to see the person. If you would have caught him some type of a harm, you will do it. Why? Because you consider it as a personal attack. And when Abu Bakr is being attacked, or any Sahabi is being attacked, so it must be good to everybody. So you see the double standards. So then Allah says after that, "Wal yafu wal yasfuhu," forgive and overlook. But don't you wish to be forgiven? He's done whatever he's done. He's remorseful for what he's done. He didn't understand. He's a simpleton, and in his simplicity, naivety, he did whatever he did. But you, as a man of excellence, a man of knowledge, man of virtue, you forgive and overlook. Don't you wish to be forgiven? So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, his response, definitely I want Allah to, and I will continue the allowance that I was giving him. I will not stop this any longer. See, so it was permissible for him to stop it, permissible for it off, but that was not the better cause. The better cause is forgive, overlook, and don't take this type of oath in future. He said, now I'll never stop this, until I'm alive, I'll never stop this, it will continue. But you see the immediate response. One great alim of his time, so his wife was giving up him, right? Swearing, abusing, insulting. Unfortunately, sometimes you have it, part is a package, you get a package deal to live with it. And now he's got friends that are very, very influential. Said, "Why are you sticking all this nonsense? Why are you enduring all this? Just separate her, we'll ensure you will get a better home, get you a better wife." They kept on nagging on him, you know, kept on nagging, harassing. So when they reached the hilt with him, so he says, "I have understood what you people say, and it's something to think about. But I have thought about this whole thing from a different perspective. I thought about it like this. If I'm going to divorce this woman here, there may be one of two situations. One is this, that after serving her iddat, she may be remarried. If she's remarried, then the stress, the difficulty, the embarrassment that I'm going through will be passed on to the difficulty of my brother or myself. He's taking all that, he's stomaching, he'll take it. Let my brother be relieved of all the pain and the agony and the grief and the hurt. The second situation may be that if I divorce her, for example, she may never get a proposal again. And if she doesn't get a proposal, then she'll be agonized, she'll be in a traumatic state, you know. She'll be grieving all the time. So let me take her grief upon myself, my brother's grief upon myself, and her grief upon myself, I will suffer, but let them be relaxed." Now that's a pure Muslim thought. It was permissible for him to divorce, for the agony, the pain that he was going through. Nobody says it wasn't permissible. But Allah Pak is giving the special virtue for who? For those يَتَّبِعُونَ أَحْسَرَ, those that take the better course. So in many things you'll find in life, so there is the course that is permissible, and the course that is the better course. So you want the better course, then the quality of the action has to be improved. You are coming to the masjid, you want a better reward. You just don't want a simple reward. Like you say, you want a motor car, you want it to be upgraded, right? I'll pay the price and I will get that. So in these deeds that we are doing, namaz, etc., we want the better reward. So now we need to think how to improve the reward. So you came early, you had ghusl, applied the ether, the right type of attire, you came slowly, gracefully, with respect you came, entered the house of Allah Ta'ala, regretful over your wrongs. Now every step that you're coming and you are getting credited, rewards are just multiplying. You would have come just ordinary at any time, late, early, reading sunnahs anywhere, while the talk is going. You could have done all these things there. You could have done. Nobody's saying that it was wrong. Nobody's saying it's a haram. But what was the better cause? The better cause that you came early, in time, long before the khutbah, you came to the front row, sat with respect, asked Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. Now that's the better cause. If you are really worried about the better cause, then this is the better cause. So Allah Ta'ala grant us the tawfiq, and let us strive and prepare ourselves for the month of Ramadan, so that we can do the better thing. So everything requires a preparation. Ramadan also requires a preparation mentally, physically, emotionally. If we are prepared to do the better thing, then Ramadan comes, then it's like a blessing just came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala straight away. But that requires some type of